There is a scene in action movies that is so often repeated that it has become something of a cliche. Somewhere towards the end of the movie, the good guys finally catch up with the bad guys who are holed up in some sort of abandoned warehouse out on the outskirts of town. And they are there getting ready to implement the final elements of their diabolical scheme, or figuring out what to do with the hostages they've been carting around all movie long. And all the while, the good guys are hiding out back, just outside, usually behind like a stack of pallets or something. Have you seen this movie? I think you have. And inevitably, someone asks the question, what's the plan? And the hero says something like, wait here while I go around back and don't make a move until I give the sign. And then someone turns to the hero and says, what's the sign? And the hero always answers, oh, you'll know. And just a few movie moments later, there's like a huge explosion, and the hero comes crashing through the wall behind the wheel of like a cement truck or something, at which everyone turns to each other and realizes, that's the sign. And they all spring into action, and the movie spirals downhill from there. Cliche or not, these scenes always feel satisfying, don't they? We may not know until it happens what the sign will actually be, but we know that when it does happen, it's gonna be awesome. And we know that it will signal a thrilling ride to the end of the movie when the bad guys are all defeated in a barrage of fists and bullets and wisecracks. If only real life was more like this. For most of us, we move through our days hoping that we're on the right track, hoping that we're doing the right thing, hoping that we've made the right choices. But it sure would be nice if we had a sign, you know, a nice, clear sign, giving us an obvious sense of God's direction, something unmistakable to let us know that we're on the right path. Something that shows us that God is real and paying attention and up to something in the world. We are not the only ones who feel this way. According to this morning's gospel, it turns out this is pretty much exactly how John the Baptist felt near the end of his life. John had, of course, thought that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the one for whom he had been preparing the world by his fiery preaching and his zealously holy life. But mere months after passing the torch over to Jesus there by the banks of the Jordan River, when he no doubt thought Jesus would begin wielding that axe that he'd been warning everybody about, John found himself in Herod's prison, which I have to imagine was not at all what John was expecting to happen when the Messiah finally came. And so there he paced his prison cell, wondering what went wrong, and a thought began to quietly consume him. What if he'd made a mistake? What if Jesus wasn't actually the Messiah after all? And so, there in his prison, desperate for a sign, he sent a messenger to go and ask Jesus what must have been a painfully honest question. Are you the one we've been waiting for or not? Now, how awesome would it have been if that was the moment Jesus decided to drive a cement truck right through the walls of Herod's prison and bust John loose? Somebody make that movie, please. Except Well, he's the Prince of Peace, not Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so instead, he simply reminds John's messenger of everything that he's been up to. Go and tell John, Jesus says. Tell him what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lepers are cleansed. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. Now, John may not have watched an awful lot of action movies, but it seems he was expecting more out of the Messiah than this. He expected someone who would be impossible to miss, who would make a clean sweep of things and bring in the righteous judgment of God. As Barbara Brown Taylor, the great preacher and writer, puts it, John wanted a tidal wave of a Messiah, and what he got instead was a steady drip of mercy from a man named Jesus, in whom plenty of people saw no Messiah at all. I think I know how John felt, and I wonder if you do too. Who hasn't looked around the world and noticed how little it resembles all of those beautiful visions from Isaiah that we've been hearing all Advent long? How both the real and metaphorical lions of the world are still very happily eating lambs, not lying down with them. And how weapons just seem to keep multiplying, not transforming into garden tools. Who hasn't wondered at some point, right along with John, if maybe we've put our money on the wrong horse? There are more days than I'd like to admit. And especially when the news cycle gets particularly bleak and it seems like we are never, ever going to get to the happy ending, when I give anything for one fireball out of heaven, one tidal wave from God, one great big cement truck with a hero at the wheel ready to blow some things up and save the day. And so I can imagine how John felt. He expected something different. He expected pretty much the same thing that the disciples expected, who kept waiting for Jesus to get around to smiting the Romans and anyone else who was in their way and set up shop in Jerusalem as king. Come on, Jesus, when are you going to get started? But my friends, expectations can be dangerous. They can easily make us resentful when things don't turn out the way we want, which is why Enneagram guru Suzanne Stabile refers to expectations as resentments waiting to happen. Nowhere is this more true than in regard to our expectations of God. We expect God to side with us. Whether it's about societal things like politics or governance, or personal things like our health and happiness. And when it starts to look like God isn't going to do what we expect, when it seems like God isn't doing what we think God is supposed to be doing, the floor beneath our faith starts to open up, and we wonder whether we've been wasting our time bothering with this God at all. Never mind that God never promised to always be on our side or always do what we think God is supposed to be doing, which pretty much means that our expectations are bending us toward disappointment. That's the trouble with expectations. If we're not careful, they can keep us from recognizing the goodness of what is happening because we're so focused on our disappointment in what is not. Let me say that again. Expectations can keep us from recognizing the goodness of what is happening because we're so focused on our disappointment in what is not. John expected the tidal wave, and he was so focused on that expectation that it prevented him from recognizing the divine power in all of those steady drips of Jesus' mercy and compassion. John expected the cement truck through the wall, so he couldn't recognize divine power when Jesus was quietly opening doors for people trapped in prisons of sin and despair. John's expectations prevented him from recognizing the power of God in such humble activity because it wasn't what he was looking for. My friends, before you look around at the world and its problems, some of which seem to be getting worse, not better, and decide that maybe all of this Jesus stuff is pretty much just a load of phooey, consider whether or not your expectations may have been setting you up for disappointment. Our expectations shape our perception of reality, and expectations can be misguided or mistaken. Jesus never claimed to be an action hero. It may work for Hollywood, but that was never God's plan for bringing peace and justice to the world. So rather than expecting the tidal wave and being disappointed by the drip of mercy, perhaps it's time to reset our expectations and realize that slow drips of mercy are how God is going to change the world. Because you see, in each of those acts, in each hungry person fed, in each lonely person loved, in each poor person who finally receives plenty, each oppressed person who finally experiences real justice, in each of those seemingly small acts is nothing less than the power of Almighty God. And they may seem to us like drips, but they are drips from the throne of heaven, and they will one day fill up the bucket of the world to its brim so that the reality of the kingdom of God will spill out over everyone and everything with blessing and peace. Cement trucks and action heroes are good for blowing things up, but drips of mercy in the hands of Jesus are what it takes to transform a world. Friends, when we expect an action hero, we will be disappointed because that's not the way the story goes. Instead, we're living a different story. We're hunkered in a building on the outskirts of town, wondering what to do next. And so we whisper to the hero next to us, the hero of the story, "Hey, what's the plan?" And the hero says, "Wait here while I go around back. Don't make a move until I give you the sign." And so we ask, "What will the sign be?" And the hero answers us, "Watch. Watch what I do for the hungry and the poor and the lonely. Watch how I heal and forgive and care. Watch for the drips of mercy, because that's the sign. And it's already begun, which means it's time. Time for you to spring into action." And all of God's people said,